You are listening to Making Mama Magic, with honest and authentic conversations about all things related to modern motherhood, wholehearted living, and peaceful parenting. Join me and my guests in our chats about redefining motherhood and parenting in a way that focuses on purpose, peace, and presence, while pursuing dreams in life, career, and business in our unique magical way. I am your host, Eva, and I empower moms to parent with connection and curiosity and to own their confidence in motherhood. Hi, welcome to Making Mama Magic. In today's episode, we have Juliana or Jules from Stories of Play, and we talk about a lot of things. We talk about mainly the magic of play and learning for our child and parenting for us as mothers. We also spoke about her motivation in life, parenting, and running a business that is purpose-led. And we talk about also why she sees motherhood as transformational work, and also the two important things that has helped her to face the ups and downs in motherhood. I really enjoy speaking with Juliana on all these topics that I find it so inspiring and aligned to what I feel and think as a parent and as a mother as well. And I hope that you enjoy this episode. So without further ado, please enjoy. Hi, welcome to Making Mama Magic Podcast, Jules.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Thank you for being here. So tell me more about yourself and also Stories of Play.
Sure. My name is Jules and I am a homeschooling mom of three, nearly four as of this recording. We live in Melbourne, Australia. My husband and I homeschool our kids together from home, and we run a business together from home as well, Stories of Play. And so with Stories of Play, what we do is we help parents to support their children in engaging in child-led play and turning those play into learning opportunities. So yeah, that's pretty much what we do in a nutshell.
Okay. Yeah, great. So what inspired you to start Stories of Play, and how has been the journey so far in terms of running this business?
Well, okay. So when I first started Stories of Play, that was about 6 years ago now, just after I had my firstborn child. So basically, I started Stories of Play because prior to becoming a mom, I was a preschool teacher. And so when I became a mom, I decided to resign because we knew that we were going to have like our kids close together and we knew we were going to homeschool them. So I just didn't see myself being a teacher anymore for the short term or probably even long term. And so I just completely resigned and I was just very excited, so excited to start my journey as a stay-at-home homeschooling mama. But what happened was, you know, reality set in and I was just completely shocked at how first-time motherhood was like for me. Because as a teacher, I thought that I knew it all in terms of raising a child, managing kids and everything. Because I, for many years, I had a classroom of like 30 kids and I'm very confident with kids. But it's just so different when it comes to your kids. Yeah. And so when I became a mom, I was just completely thrown into the deep end, so to speak. And I was just horrified at how isolating it was for me. And I just felt like I lost a huge part of my identity, of who I am. I just didn't know who I was anymore when I was just mom, you know, just constantly doing all the mundane motherhood things day in, day out. I just didn't know who I was anymore. And so I kind of started Stories of Play and as just an Instagram account. It wasn't a business or anything. I just wanted to start an Instagram account where I could do something that was just for myself. You know, the Jules me instead of the mom me. I started Stories of Play so that I could connect with people who were along the same journey as me, who are probably like moms or teachers or educators or whatever, because I am an extrovert by nature. I'm very sociable. I like to chat. I like to connect with people. And so I just felt like, you know, social media would give me the opportunity to do that. And so that was, in a nutshell, how Stories of Play first started. And I guess I called myself, or rather the called the account Stories of Play, was because I wanted to share the behind the scenes, the stories of play. Because, you know, play on its own, when you just take a picture, it doesn't, especially with Instagram being such a visual platform, just a picture alone, you don't even realize all those amazing things that goes behind one picture, all the learning and all that. And so I started that, the name Stories of Play, so that I can share the behind the scenes of what led to that picture that you see on Instagram. And so, yeah, that's pretty much it. And then over the years, it just, I guess, organically grew, because I guess people loved what I was sharing, and they started, you know, asking questions, and I just started answering questions, and just the community grew and grew and grew. And then I came to a point where I felt like, hey, you know what? There are just so many people who really could benefit from the things that I'm sharing. There's something that I can offer the world. I can helps a lot of parents, a lot of families, a lot of children to just get back into the wonders of play. Because I think a lot of us, especially for us Asians, we have just completely lost sight of what play is, or rather we just never knew that play could be so much more than just play. So yes, that's a very long-winded way of answering your questions, but yeah, that's how Stories of Play started.
Yeah, I mean, myself, I've witnessed the growth of Stories of Play for the past 3 years, and I'm really amazed by how much effort and hard work and passion you have put into sharing your content, sharing your stories, and also being very intentional in terms of adding value to some of the things that you are providing to the community as well. It's really been a journey that I'm truly impressed as well.
Oh, thank you.
As a mother and also as a business owner now, because yeah, I've seen how much effort you've put into really supporting more moms to enjoy their motherhood better and
yes,
really enjoy a more abundant motherhood.
Yes.
Yeah. One of the things that you shared, which is about identity. I think a lot of moms, when they become a first-time mom, right? I mean, for me as well, I was working full-time, and one of the things that I struggled the most is about identity as well, because
yeah,
I felt like I had to be switching my mindset and my roles quite often. Like I had to be the employee, I had to be like the mom. And then I felt like all the time, you know, the decision making and everything is focused on the child. And then when I left my full-time work, I became a stay-at-home mom for a while as well. And I felt that sense of extreme isolation as well. So
yeah,
I really resonate with how you feel in terms of like, it's so different, right? Like you used to have a lot of interaction with so many people, whether it's people outside or people in your community or in your workspace. And then suddenly as a stay-at-home mother, you have this little one who can barely speak.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's really a shift in terms of how life is, and it can be very mundane sometimes, but there are magical moments as well. So I guess it's a huge shift for a lot of mothers in terms of stepping into that motherhood. So for you, in terms of your journey so far, starting a business and also being a mother as well, what really motivates you in life in terms of, you know, having these two roles?
I think for me, and I believe that we are all called to be on this earth for a purpose. And so I think for me, everything I do with regards to my business, with regards to being a mom as well, it's more like, what kind of legacy do I want to leave behind, right, to the world and for my kids as well? And not just like a legacy for, you know, just, you know, my kids maybe, but really what kind of legacy can I leave, like a long-term kind of legacy? Like, I guess I'm talking more about like generational impact, because, you know, let's take, for instance, with with kids, right? Like, you know, I'm not just being a mom now, but I'm raising my girls not just to, you know, become the next whatever career they step into, but they're going to be leaders. They're going to be moms themselves. They're going to be grandmothers in future as well. And so that kind of like generation impact is what I guess motivates me. And even with the work that I do as well, I'm like so passionate about helping moms to see this immense role that we play as well. And that's why I'm so passionate about Playful Childhood, but not just Playful Childhood, but the fact that motherhood is so powerful, such a transformational role as well for ourselves and for others as well, because we are literally like nurturing life and it goes on and on and on. And my work, it's to help moms, parents see that they have this ability to not just change their immediate world, their immediate kids' worlds, but then like their children are going to go forth later to change the world as well. And so I guess for me, that kind of long-term generational impact is really what motivates me and keeps me going even when, you know, there are challenging days and everything, and the mundaneness of motherhood and all that, in all the boring day-to-day stuff, like I know that it all matters. Because sometimes, you know, the things that we do, we can just brush it off and say, oh, you know, this is just mom life, or, you know, just a mom. Like, I hear a lot of my friends who may not have businesses, they might just be housewives at home, and they just feel like, oh, you know, I'm not accomplishing much, I'm just a mom, I'm just a housewife. But no, like I want to change that narrative around that, because the role that we play is huge, right? And it honestly generational, the fruits of it, right, the impact of it, we may not even be able to see everything, the power and the value of what we do in our generation, but it's going to be felt like years and years and years from now. And so yeah, that's why I'm super passionate about what I do.
Yeah, I love that how you say it, because we as parents, as moms, we are one of the biggest influences in our children's life. And I think our children see us as role models and people that they look up to if we have that strong connection and bond with them. And I think for me as well, I see motherhood as, you know, really something that is really transformational. I mean, in terms of not just the generational impact that you say, but also in terms of, you know, showing our children what we can do as people to impact and influence other people as well. So, yeah, so it's something that I feel that it might not be the most exciting work sometimes, but it's important work, it's valuable work in terms of parenting, intentional parenting, and being mindful in terms of how we engage our children, how we connect our children. And I love that the way that you share about play, because like what you say about the Asian mindset, right? You know, like a lot of a lot of Asian in general, I would say, sees play as, you know, outside of academics and, you know, just a separate thing as compared to schoolwork, as compared to learning. To you, how would you define play?
That is a very, very difficult question. Because I can probably speak like hours on this topic. But I think for most of us, right, who are Asians, right, we come from the background that play is rest time. It's leisure time. It's time when we relax. After we've done the more important work, after we've done learning, after we've done just all the more important stuff. But the thing is, I've come to realize in my professional development, because being in Australia, we learn something called the play-based curriculum, where children are learning through play. And I think for me, I began, and actually even when I was studying my degree, my master's here, I just felt like I could not reconcile what I was learning in theory and what I have experienced for myself growing up. I just couldn't understand how play is learning. And this is the kind of thing that it's really hard to understand until you actually see for yourself what children are doing when they play, when you actually begin to take time to notice what you do. Because if you don't notice, right, you really won't see the value, the learning and all, because it often just seems like mess. It often just seems like just play. But when you actually take the time to notice, to look beyond the mess, to look beyond the play, you actually notice that play is learning, right? Just because your child is not sitting down at the table practicing their writing, tracing, you know, counting numbers and all that, does not mean that they are not doing something that is valuable for their learning, for their development. And even things, the more academic things like, you know, reading, writing, there are so many foundational skills that children need to be developing before they are ready to read, to write, to count, and do all those wonderful academic stuff. And all that actually begins in play. And so besides academic stuff, right, children, when they are playing, they are also learning, not just how learning, but they are also learning how to learn. You know, those soft skills like, you know, focus, concentration, the ability to think critically, to problem solve, that kind of soft skills, which is not very soft as well, because they are so crucial in this new generation of kids that we want to raise as well. Because honestly, if you think about it, the kind of jobs that we are trying to prepare our children for, they'll probably not be existing in 20 years' time when our children actually become adults, right?
Yes.
Like there's every generation, the jobs just become obsolete. And so how do we prepare them for their future? It's by helping them to develop all these what we call soft skills. And so, yes, play is so incredibly valuable. I cannot even, it's really hard for me to just sum it up in a couple of sentences, but yes, it is. It is learning. It is valuable. It is just so, so powerful if we only can notice what's going on.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that you also shared in your account and also in your courses is about reading as well. It's about not just reading, but also spending intentional time reading as well. These are moments and not just pure reading. It's about learning together as well. And it's not just, you know, telling, or it's reading with the children. I remember there's this book that you shared in the course I attended, the authentic learning, called the Chika Chika Boom Boom.
Yeah.
Which my boy loves it. He's like a fan of this book. When I started reading with him, like 1 year plus ago when I took the course, and I recall he wasn't able to, you know, articulate yet. He was only like near two thereabouts. And then like now he reads the book, he can literally like say it with me very clearly as well. So, and he actually learned his alphabet from that book as well. Yeah, which is... something that
was amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's such a fun book to read with him. I mean, even my husband loves to read him. So there's a lot of rhythm, there's a lot of involvement. And I think that's the fun part of reading as well. It's not just like just boring reading, but just there's a lot of fun, there's a lot of play, there's a lot of play of pollination as well. So I think shifting mindsets about play, right? This could be one of the playful moments that we can do as parents, but also play like this of looking out for all these learning moments from that as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. In your own work, you have interacted with a lot of moms, right? And you mentioned that a lot of moms feel that they are not enough. They feel that they are just a mom and all. How do you think moms in this modern age can enjoy parenting and also motherhood better?
I think a lot of it, again, comes to our own experience as well. We bring a lot of how we parent based on how we were parented growing up, right? And so, like, I guess a lot of us, when we were growing up, right, my parents hardly played with us. Like, play was always seen like an activity that children do. And the thing is, because as we progress, as society progress, you know, with research and all that done, right, we begin to learn things that our previous generations who came before us, they didn't know about the value of play. They didn't know that play has so much value. They didn't know about the importance of, you know, connecting with our children and all that kind of thing. And so when you don't know, it's hard to do things. But the thing is, once you are actually open to learning new things, once you are open to reading up, getting knowledge for yourself, you begin to open up your mind to see that, hey, you know, things are changing. These are considered as important now, and this is valuable now. And the thing is, once you know, you can do better. And that's why knowledge is so powerful. And I often believe in the importance of educating ourselves as well, like constantly learning. Once we become lifelong learners ourselves, constantly learning about different things, then we can pass on that love of learning to our kids as well. And so I think for us, a lot of times we were raised with the mindset that, oh, you know, you need to work. If you play with your child, you're a lazy parent. If your child is in a mess. I remember even for myself, when I first became a mom and my parents came to visit me the very first time in Australia, and I would spend like my free time creating like our paint pack dolls and things like that. And my dad is a doer. His love language is acts of service, right? And so for him, as a parent, to show love to your kids, you need to keep the house clean. You need to be cooking. You need to be making sure that everything is spick and span and just basically a lot of doing, right? Yeah. And so I was kind of doing as well, but I was playing to my dad, right? And so when he saw me then, I remember there was once he just said that, hey, why don't you just go and mop the floor or something like that?
Right.
And it was only because he didn't know method, right? It was an old mindset of thinking where play is not valuable and all that. He didn't know the value of it. But it's so different after so many years now, with me almost having my fourth kid. Both my parents are here now, and my house is way messier than like 6 years ago when I had my first born, right? With three kids all the time who are much older and cutting pieces of paper everywhere. The house is just insanely messy all the time. And my dad is just, he's not so much fussed about all those things anymore, because over the years, he's come to realize as well that it's not just mess. You know, my girls are learning and he can see it for himself. And also because I tell them all the things that my kids are doing, but he is learning. He is beginning to see the value of play, and he's not so, I guess, bothered before, because he now has this renewed way of thinking about the importance of connecting with children, the importance of play and looking beyond the mess and all that kind of thing, right? And so what I often tell parents is, when you cannot reconcile this feeling of, if I am playing with my child, I'm lazy, or if I'm not doing certain things, right? We need to really ask ourselves the hard questions, like, where is all this coming from? Like, is it from our own experiences? Is there something that we need to unlearn? Is there something that we need to read up to find the value of? Because once we are very certain of our why, once we are confident about our why, once we are confident about equipping ourselves with knowledge, because knowledge is power, that's when we are able to be confident and intentional about the things that we do and don't do. And so that really helps with that whole mindset, so to speak. Right. And I think one more thing for me is also, parents often feel like there's a lot of shoots. And I really hate that, you know, when parents or moms in particular feel like there is something that I should do. You know, I should sit and play. I shouldn't sit and play. In a lot of the courses and programs that I do, there often are two camps of parents. Parents who feel like they should play. And then there are parents who feel like they shouldn't play, because if they play with their kids all the time, then they are not setting their children up for independence and all that kind of thing. And so there's a lot of all these, I guess, baggages weighing on us. And not just in play, but in almost every aspect of parenting, you know, how much sleep my child should get, how much screen time my child needs, how much food, what kind of food, and should I breastfeed and formula, like. There's just so much shoot just going around parenting. And I really hate that, because it gives us unnecessary pressure to do the right thing. But the thing is, there is no right thing. I often believe that what you need to do is to read up, to equip yourself with knowledge, right? Uh-huh. And then knowing that, right, cross-reference with your own personal values of what you want for your family, for your child. And then you can make that decision, and that is going to look completely different for every single family, because every single family is different. Every family circumstances, beliefs, values, what they prioritize is going to be different.
Yes, definitely. I so agree with you with that, because, I mean, for me, because of the journey that I've gone through in terms of like learning and unlearning and reflecting as well, I see that it needs a lot of intentional understanding of who I am as a person, what kind of family and values and priorities do I have, and in terms of making informed choices, you know, in terms of how that's aligned to all this. And I think the thing about being a mom, we get a lot of whether is it solicited or unsolicited advice from different people, from well-intended friends and
well-meaning
So they have good intentions, right? But ultimately, it boils down to what works best for myself as a mom and also as a family and also for children, because every children is different, right? They what they do, what they love, what makes them tick, what makes them laugh, what works for a child at the same age for other families may not be the same as our own children, because they're so unique in terms of their personality, interests and all. And yeah, there's a lot of things that we may not know about the other family that we see on social media is perfectly curated versus our own journey as well.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think I really resonate with what you say about having that clarity of what we believe in and what we value as a person, as a family. I think that will definitely help mothers to be less stressed and just let go of all the shoots, the baggage and the past childhood experiences that may not be the most aligned to what you believe now as a person and now as a mother, which is a new identity, and also as a wife as well, right? Because there's so many things that has changed since then, since you're a child as well. Yeah, so definitely it's something that hopefully more mothers can understand and embrace that mindset.
Yeah. I think there's one more thing also that I wanted to add about grace as well. Like, I think moms, we're often very hard on ourselves. And the thing is, as much as once we know better, we do better, that kind of thing, right? The kind of language that we talk about. But the thing is, with unlearning and relearning things, it's always going to be a lifelong process. We're never going to become perfect at understanding some things, you know, like if we've never, you know, understood the importance of play, if we've never understood things like positive parenting, intentional parenting, mindful parenting, there's all this type of lingo out there now that we need to unlearn and relearn how we discipline our kids and all that kind of thing. The thing is, because it's so different from how we experience it over and over again, even as we try to do what we think is now the best thing for our kids, we are often going to sometimes occasionally, because we are only human, right? Whether we have our own triggers, whether we have our own intentions and all that as well, we need to understand that it's going to be a lifelong journey of personal growth for us as well, to reach a point where, you know, I have unlimited patience. Like, who on earth is going to have unlimited patience? exactly right. And so we need to understand that as much as once we know better, we do better, we also need to understand that we need to give ourselves grace to fail, to show our children what it's like to fail as well, and to be okay with failing, and to say, you know what, mommy has shouted to you again today, or whatever, right? Whatever that you don't want to do. And telling them that, hey, it's okay, we will fail and we will pick ourselves up and we'll try this again tomorrow. And so,
Yeah, I love that you say about grace. And I think like having the grace and self-compassion for ourselves.
Self-compassion, yes.
Really, really critical, because like what you say, we are not like 100% all the time, right? We cannot be like an energizer bunny who has like 100% battery all the time. But there'll be bad days that, you know, we just can't be the best version that we are. And I love that how you say about modeling that, you know, that we are in that space of not the best mood, and really showing that emotion and being very authentic about that as well. I think they will learn that mama or papa, they're human as well, right? We have our own emotions and we have our good days and bad days.
Yeah.
And likewise, absolutely, for us, we see our children as they have good days and bad days as well. Yes. But we are as a family, we support each other. We know that we are there for each other, and we grow from the experience together.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you were to choose one word that could describe your almost 6 years motherhood journey.
Yeah, 6 years.
What was the word that you chose to describe your motherhood journey so far?
I think it would definitely be humbling, especially coming from a teacher background, like I mentioned earlier, right? Someone who thought I knew a lot when it came to raising kids, to looking after kids, right? Just being a mother just really shows you how much you don't know. And even coming to my fourth child now, there will be some experience for sure that I can draw on from raising three other girls already. But even though this is like my fourth girl, right? Still a girl, it's still parenting this particular child that is coming, right? For the very first time, there's going to be things that I don't know because she's going to be completely different to her older sisters. And so, you know, motherhood just shows me that I will never reach a point of time where I know it all, I do it all, and I'm able to do everything. I want to show my girls and show others as well that there is beauty in and this comfort and peace in knowing that I do not have to know it all. Even as a mom of almost four, I can continue learning. I can continue growing. There's always going to be something new to learn about my girls every single day. There's always going to be something new, a new parenting hack, a new parenting trick that I don't know, right?
Yeah.
It just really shows me every single day how humbling this motherhood journey is, because even as I'm a mom and I see my mom mothering me now, like here as well, it's just so crazy because, you know, this motherhood journey never ends. You know, you think that once your child becomes a mom, you kind of like hands off, no, like she's just learning how to be a mom in a different way, how to be a mom of a mom, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's just so, so beautiful to watch this new season grow and evolve for each of us in different stages of our motherhood journey. And so, yeah, I actually find it so comforting to know that, you know, I never have to reach a point where I can do everything perfectly. I can do everything well. I'm like this perfect mom or like in this unicorn person. But like just knowing that I give myself grace to fail, give myself the grace to continue learning. And it's very empowering, actually. So it's like humbling and empowering. Like being a mother just makes me feel so strong and so vulnerable, so humbling. Like there's just all these emotions all come together in this perfect package of magic in the mundane. I don't know. I just love that phrase. Like it's just something that I often remind myself all the time, that motherhood is just so there's just so much going on and it's everything's like a paradox. And so I love it. I love it so much. And it's hard. It's hard work for sure. I'm sure every single mom listening will agree with me. But it's just so worth it and so valuable as well.
Yeah. I love that magic in a mundane thing. I think that's one of the things that this podcast is called Making Mama Magic, right? So I also believe that every moms have their own way of making magic, whether you're a working mother, whether you're a business owner, whether you're a stay-at-home mothers. But the way that you choose to parent and you choose to spend time for your child in different ways, and then the way that you choose your own, you know, life goals and priorities and things that you're doing for children, you are making magic in your own unique way. It's not like the same as other families, but you choose your own journey, your path, and it will be a challenging journey for a lot of mothers. It will be a journey where we learn a lot of things and we unlearn a lot of things, but it's your own unique way. So that's how the Making Mama Magic came about as well.
So good.
If people would like to connect with you, how can they connect with you?
The best place would be on Instagram. That's where I guess I show up most for my community. So I'm on Stories of Play, just one word, Stories of Play. And that's where I love to have a chat with parents in DMs. That's my favorite part of just doing what I do, like just making real life connections with just hundreds and hundreds of like moms out there and just hearing stories, sharing stories, exchanging stories and encouraging each other. Because my biggest passion is really for moms to see that they are not alone on this journey, because we started at the start of this interview talking about how I felt so isolated. And I realized that I wasn't the only one feeling isolated. Like moms all over the world are feeling isolated. And when we can start to have conversations, right, we begin to empower each other to see that, hey, I'm not the only one feeling this. You too, right? And that is so powerful in knowing that, you know, even though we feel alone, we are really not alone. And so, I truly enjoy that part of what I do, just connecting with moms.
Yeah, and you do have a membership community as well.
Yes, I do.
Authentic Learning Experience.
Yes, yes. So I have a place parenting membership called the Authentic Learning Experience. We only open 3 times a year. We welcome new parents into our beautiful community where we just talk about play, what our children are learning when they play, how to help our children to learn authentically without burning out at both ends. Because I know sometimes in our eagerness to help our children learn, we just want to do all the things, create all the activities. And so, because my passion is to help parents see playful, get children to have a playful childhood, but more importantly, to get parents, moms to have that whole abundant motherhood as well. I think that's what we do inside of the Authentic Learning Experience.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you so much for your time, Jules, and all the best for your upcoming fourth girl coming out in
very soon. Very, very soon. I don't even know when. Could be anytime.
And wishing you a smooth delivery and all the best to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
So that was my conversation with Juliana. I really enjoyed it. I love that we talk about the mindsets that has helped her to embrace the ebbs and flows of motherhood, particularly about magic in the mundane, and also in terms of looking at motherhood as a journey where we learn and relearn about our own experiences, about our own beliefs and values. And I really, really, truly believe that once we get clarity about who we are and what we believe in and what works best for our child, ourselves and our own families, we will be able to own our confidence in parenting and motherhood. And that's something that I work with my coaching clients often as well. Juliana has given birth to her beautiful girl since our recording. Congratulations, Juliana. If you'd like to connect her, I have put in her website and Instagram links in the show notes. So feel free to check out her Instagram and website if you'd like to learn the magic of play in your own parenting journey. If you'd like to further the conversation with me, do connect with me at Instagram at The Curious Mama, or subscribe to my newsletter where I will share a bit more about resources relating to this topic as well. And if you'd like to show your love for this podcast, please leave a rating on Apple Podcasts. This would really mean a lot to me. Till then, take care and remember that you are in love, and keep on making magic in your unique way.